Hello, this is Clay Boykin, and I am in search of the new compassionate male. Friday night, my dear friend John Fleming, along with my producer, Dennis Tardan, and I recorded a deep, passionate, and meaningful conversation about the murder of George Floyd and racism in America. I consider John to be an example of the new compassionate male, standing in his truth with an open heart. His message is powerful and needs to be heard. A word of caution, you may be triggered by some of what is shared. I invite you to listen to this portion of the conversation in its entirety. Additional excerpts will follow in the coming days. Here's John.
Done your work with this men's group. It has helped you to figure out that you're a part of the puzzle, a piece of that puzzle that we're all trying to put together right now.
Yeah. That's the weight that hit me the other day when I just, you know, and Laura, what's wrong? You know, and I've been processing. I've got to have a topic for Monday night. She said, well, I said, but it can't just be a topic and I can't wade into it head on. I've got to figure this out. And it was on one aspect of compassion. And we skirted around what I really wanted to come out and talk about. But we couldn't talk about it just as a bunch of white men. The same reason I don't allow us, there's a couple of things I don't allow. I don't allow us to talk about women because the women aren't there. Nobody sits in there and goes, well, women are like this. No, they don't get that. And so in the same vein, if we're not going to talk, we can't talk about women because they're not in the room. We can't talk about race without you being in the room.
Wished I had said, and I should have said, and I didn't, that I have to acknowledge my early church upbringing, and I've had to acknowledge my unity experience as far as my healing arc is concerned. But an integral part of that healing arc was the men's group. And I know that your men's group is what got me on this journey, this path.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And the reason why I say that is because you have done this work for any man to step into that circle of true love.
Mm-hmm.
We're not making it a social thing.
Mm-mm.
We're not making it a sexual thing.
Mm-mm.
We're not making it a gender thing.
Mm-mm.
It is a spiritual thing in the context of being a male.
A male. Yes.
And I just remember going to the first men's group and sitting there going, what am I doing? What am I doing? What am I doing? What am I doing? I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. And then sitting there, and I remember this for, I will remember this for as long as I live. I'm sitting in this circle of predominantly white men. I think Art was there too.
Art was there. I remember.
And I just remember at one point in the meeting, there were just tears coming down my cheek because I had never felt or experienced anything like this before. And then the few meetings that I've been to since I felt like I was attending the meeting of the elders.
Mm.
The sacred elders sitting in that circle to look at and discuss and share in the universal wisdom of humanity.
Thank you for saying that. You know, when you talk about universal wisdom, I don't know if I said it the nights that you were there or not, but I make the point that you get that many guys in a circle, add up all of our ages, right there, that night, in that moment, for 8 years, every Monday night, there's over 1,000 life years of experience sitting right there. Mm-hmm. And there's one thing that each of us can learn from the other. And that's 1,000 life years in this incarnation.
Right.
And what about our ancestors and them? Right. And you look at that energy.
For the lifetimes.
And lifetimes that are represented in that circle. And you're right. There's so much to learn. And I tell you, the times that you were there, if you've ever had a doubt of whether or not you're an elder, get it out of your mind, because you are. And the one thing I came out of this last year with was this conviction, this belief that right now a new compassionate male is emerging.
Yes.
As the new archetype.
Yes.
And I didn't say new compassionate man. The new compassionate male.
Male.
Because the new compassionate male is not gender specific.
Right.
Nobody is excluded from this conversation. And that's what I'm doing. And that's why these conversations are happening. It's not one person. It's an archetype.
Yeah.
And what you're what we're talking about here, what we know that's here, that's what's begging to come out.
Right.
Is the truth. Is that.
And this is why I empathize with you in your experience of how you describe that feeling of. That's tied to the idea, I don't know what mm-hmm. to do. And I'm looking at you and I'm saying to you, you don't get a pass.
Mm.
Because I see that you are doing the work,
mm-hmm.
that inner work that many white people have avoided because they're privileged. They are the cause of the effect that they're witnessing right now.
Mm-hmm.
You're at the root of it, but you can't see it and acknowledge it because you've not been on the receiving end of what's been going on that you perpetuated. And I say that because I remember you early on telling me your story about how when you first came to Unity, you were angry. You had a lot of anger. I didn't know what the anger was about, but what I caught was you came to Unity and you got to a place where you could finally let that go.
Yeah.
I never knew the story behind the anger or what the anger was about. I just remember you termed it and generally termed it as anger when you came here, and this place had changed your life.
It was fear. That was what was below the anger, and the fear stemmed from any number of things.
And I'll say this too, which says to me, you did your work, but there's deeper work to be done
mm-hmm.
for many people. But you've done that deep work, and you're going deeper now mm-hmm. in this common experience of the whole George Floyd thing, and this mm-hmm. is startling, jolting. There's no way around it but through it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not pretty, and it's uncomfortable, and it hurts, and it's painful. And I'm just acknowledging for you that's what it's like for me and mm-hmm. the people that look like for me. And it's okay. You can do this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm happy to hold your hand. I'm happy to walk with you. I'm happy to sit with you in your discomfort of this, because that's, I can't do that for you, because I can't do it for you, because it's your feeling and it's coming up for you. You got to deal with that.
Right.
How many times have I been dismissively said, deal with it, just deal with it. The tone policing that goes on, well, don't be so mad, don't be so loud. Mm-hmm. You get to deal with that now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm acknowledging that for you to say, yes, that is a thing, because I've experienced it. Other people that look like me have experienced it. And now you're starting to know and understand what that looks and feels like now, because the shoe is now on the other foot, and it's on your foot now.
See, what I don't understand about that is there's no way I can know what you feel. Because I haven't had your experience. I can have my reaction and my feelings to what is now becoming real. It's in my face, and These are my feelings about it. But they don't mean that I can understand your feelings.
But I had a former coworker in my office today. He just went to go work for the Civil Rights Office in the Department of State Health Services. And he's an ex-cop, black man. And I was having this conversation with him, mm-hmm. that I'm having with you. And I told him, I said, I was calling my white friends out on this business of telling me, I can't know what it's like to be you. I can't understand. I don't understand. I can't imagine. And I'm like, that statement is problematic for me, because in my post, I said, all my life I had to study you. You know, I learned about you because that was in the history books. That was in the books that everything about my world is about you all.
It's in reference to that, right?
It's in reference to that. And
right.
I even told TK, my colleague, today, I said, he goes, I don't particularly agree with what you said. And I said, and that's your choice that I think we've been conditioned to say in response to an opportunity to do some very deep critical thinking around what we are all commonly experiencing right now. Mm-hmm. You don't get a pass. Keep coming back. You don't get a pass from this. I said, because Mr. Rogers taught us differently.
So you hit on a point there that I think is really important. You had to study us. You had to study us to survive.
Or literally had to study you.
Right. Okay. And so you understand us.
Yes.
But I've got to do my studying to understand.
Yes.
You can't tell me. Now I know how you feel, because I don't, because I haven't studied you.
And
that's the work that's got to be done.
Yes. That is it.
Okay. Then.
You get it.
Right. Right. Now, there is one sliver of understanding that I can say, that I can relate to when you were talking about fear and mm-hmm. the hair on the back of your neck sticking up.
Mm-hmm.
And it was when I was in New York City, when I officed up there, I walked down the wrong street.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a visceral feeling.
Yes.
And my hair stood up on the back of my neck.
Yes.
And I said, I am a place where I am not supposed to be. I didn't see anybody else, but it was too dark and it was too quiet. And I turned and I walked and got into the bright lights as soon as I could.
Yep.
And that one experience there multiplied over a lifetime is what I think I'm hearing you say.
Yes.
But that's a sliver of one experience. But that's a sliver of truth.
Yes.
That I can relate. I can say, yes. Okay, I can touch a piece of that. But I'm not going to insult you to say, oh, I know how you feel because I had this one experience.
Right.
And I have a basis to begin to understand.
And that's the work.
Yes.
That I'm talking about, that many of you, I'm saying, no longer get to give yourself a pass on.
Right.
It's a touch point that right. you can go back to check yourself when you open your mouth to try to express an opinion about my truth as I'm sharing it. No, you don't get to have an opinion or to tell me what you think about how I'm expressing my truth of my very personal experience, because all you would want to do, should do, need to do, and can do is to shut up, sit, and listen. Because mm-hmm. I've had to listen to you mm-hmm. when your humanity, your justice has been threatened. I've had to decide to choose to be your bullhorn when you needed a helping hand in getting the word out about what's important to you.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't get no love. And that's why when people say, John, you're loved, I was like, stop saying that to me. Because I need you to get it. Because I already know. I know what loving myself is now, because you all taught me that. Again, I've had to study you. But I need you to get it now, because there are some things that you have not understood yet mm-hmm. that we have lived, and now here's the moment of truth. And it's so ironic that you and I are having this conversation, because it's bringing this pandemic experience full circle for me, because when this pandemic started, I was wobbling. And from the minute the executive orders came down about shelter in place, I kind of felt myself going into a state of panic and fear. And I was just like, what is going on? And then I stopped and I was like, uh-uh. I am not living in fear.
Mm-hmm.
I refuse. Because now I'm really calling myself out as a lunatic. That I can in no way call myself a chaplain and talk the talk, but not walk the walk.
Mm-hmm.
And I had been really delving into the five principles since Rick did his talk a couple of months back. Because that talk really opened my eyes. And I see it, and as I look back over time, over the last 3 or 4 months, it's all in divine order. Rick was equipping me with what I needed to know to get through this pandemic, but he was also equipping me with what I needed to know to deal with this shit concerning mm-hmm. another black man being killed by law enforcement.
Yeah.
And finding a way through those feelings to be able to articulate what I would want you, Clay, to know about what you're experiencing now in your awakening to the very real spirit experience for me and so many other black people in this country. You've come to a place within yourself that you can now start to relate. That's the understanding. It's the awareness of something that you didn't know, you couldn't see.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're starting to get a glimpse, because like that Indian standing on the shore,
yeah,
couldn't see the ship until it was right up on him. And it's right up on you now.
Mm-hmm.
And you see it. And you're like, what is that? Oh, it's a thing. It's there. It will reveal itself to you as you continue to allow yourself to listen to someone else's experience and hear their words and begin to feel their words. And this is why I think Brené Brown has become who she is. Mm-hmm. When she gave me the definition for empathy, she said, empathy means you are willing to feel and experience the feelings in someone else as they speak their truth in yourself. That's where the understanding comes from. No, I'm not you, Clay, but I can certainly put myself in your shoes for a minute,
right,
to the fullest extent and degree that my my imagination and my empathy and compassion is allowing me to.
Yes.
Because I have not fully practiced and experienced it enough yet, but it's helping me to open my heart more and be receptive to this experience that is not mine, not mine, not my experience, not my reality, my truth, but I have the capacity to touch it within myself because someone is offering it to me as a gift.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that's why I'm not buying this idea that it's, I can't know. Well, why can't you? Mr. Rogers said,
yeah,
he did it so beautifully. He would say, how would you feel if someone took that toy from you and it wasn't yours? I remember it wasn't about the, you know, the going to the land of the, of what do you call it? The dreamland with Lady Eberlin and King Tuesday, King Friday, and all those.
Yeah. He was very political.
But he was really good.
Oh yeah.
In what he was teaching, because he was helping us to understand our shit through puppets and through your imagination and having honest conversations with the boys and girls.
That's right.
Helping them to remember it's not okay to treat Sally that way because Sally's skin color is different. How would you feel if somebody treated you differently because you had blue eyes and they had brown eyes and you had blue eyes?
Right.
You don't get a pass. And this is what I think this global collective experience is bringing to us now. This pandemic has forced us into isolation. Isolation. It's forced us to have to sit in our rooms and deal with the stuff we've been systemically, historically avoiding, which is why we have sex, drugs, food, shopping, smoking, gambling, whatever the vice, to stay constantly distracted from the truth, the gut-busting truth that's sitting right in front of us. We don't want to look at it.
You know,
and when George Floyd happened, it's like, no, you don't get to look away. You don't get to walk away. You don't get to hide. You don't get to tuck it under the rug. You don't get to shove it in the back of the closet. You got to deal with this now.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get a pass.
Well,
and you're doing the work, Clay, because you're telling me you've hit touch points within yourself that are starting to open up for you to reveal to you a greater truth that you've been missing out on. And I would say this to white people in general. You've been doing it to yourselves because you have been conditioned and you benefited from the privilege of being in control of everything. It's like you're saying, look at me. Consciously or unconsciously, it's the benefit of your ancestral journey.
Right.
And never in a million years would I have thought that I would be sitting here saying this to you and talking about the work of men and the compassionate
male
archetype.
Mm-hmm.
I think that movie may offer you some other things to think about and to consider as you continue to do this work, because Clay, you're doing it. And I'm wanting to acknowledge to you as a white man, you're doing it. And I know it feels uncomfortable for you, and it is painful. It angers you because you're being called out in ways that you've never been called out before. But I want you to sit with that feeling of anger when you're being called out, where you feel like, how dare you talk to me like that? Mm-hmm. Look at that and ask yourself, what is that really about?
Yeah.
Because that's what we experience as Black people. Talking to white people, I'm like, when I'm just trying to tell you, no, you can't do that. That's not right. I don't buy that from you. Well, don't you talk. It's like this indignant, don't you talk to me. Who do you think you are? Like you're an aristocrat. And I'm just kind of telling you, no, I'm not studying you right now. Because that's the same shit I've dealt with all my life. No, I'm not trying to hear you. No, don't ask me what to do because you need to go figure it out. Because right. I didn't cause this. You did.
Right.
But I wasn't there during the Civil War. No, you weren't. But you benefited from it. And you can't even see that.
Right.
So no, you don't get a pass. And yes, you can understand. Because I've had to understand you. And I do understand. Because I've allowed myself to think critically about what it's like to have been given so many opportunities because you had easy access to wealth. You had access to opportunities that creates a disparate difference between you and those that you perceive as different.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get a pass from looking at that now because it's been there. And it keeps coming up, and you keep looking away from it because you're not responsible. I don't have it. That's not mine. That's not me. But you can't see how your actions, your thoughts, your words have created that, have impacted that.
And yeah, perpetuated it.
And I guess it feels like you're being blamed, and maybe to a degree you should. However, like you said, you have perpetuated as a collective.
Mm-hmm.
And as a collective, it's time for you to own that. Because what I'm seeing, and this is what I keep saying, America, your chickens have come home to roost. And this, the collective is starting to realize this can no longer continue. I think the universe is trying to tell us it's time for us to evolve.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been saying since I came to Unity that I feel like we are very much in an evolutionary process.
Yeah, yeah. There's so many from different angles. But I think I'm going to look at the whole thing and see if I can pull the pieces out that distills the real essence of the message that you and I are wrestling with, because as we're wrestling with it, I mean, there's no other person in the world that I would want to be wrestling with this issue with than you. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I
thank you.
So that's the next piece of homework for me, is to pull out the pieces of this over 2 hours, almost 3 hours, pull out the pieces of it that will represent this dialogue that you and I are wrestling with to the benefit of other people.
Yeah.
And say that this is a work in progress, that this is a step. That's why I was trying to write the book, The New Compassionate Male. I wasn't getting anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as I said In Search Of, all opened up. And Dennis is my producer. From podcast, it's documentary.
Hmm.
That's the vision. But it's not me sitting here trying to intellectualize what this is about.
Right.
No, it's this.
Yes.
This is the search right now, right here.
That's right.
And
that's the work.
That's the work.
And so you're not giving yourself a pass. You're doing the work.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Because this is what's needed. hear them struggle with, this is some difficult times, like just kind of wash over it. It's like, oh, so you want to gloss over that like that? Okay. I see you. Mm-hmm. You're not doing that. And you are coming correct because you're acknowledging a genuine desire to want to know, but you're not doing it as that typical white person who, I want to know, I want to understand, but you're letting me know in the way in which you're communicating that to me, John, I want to know, and I'm mm-hmm. asking because I know you. I'm asking.
And this is part of my homework.
Yes. And this is what we talk about in conscious conversations. You're empowered to do this work.
Yeah.
You just don't know it yet. Yeah. But you're empowered to do this work. And the best way you can begin the work is to begin asking the tough questions for yourself that you've never dared to ask.
Yeah.
And you do it the best way you can. And yeah, you may fuck it up. And yeah, the people that you've asked may not respond very nicely because they've been beaten and tattered and torn, and they're just tired of having an answer because you never listen.
Right. And the other thing, you were talking about history. You were making reference of understanding the history of oppression. Mm-hmm. And I have one data point that is seared into my brain. It was something I saw when I was in Jamaica,
mm-hmm.
where I had my mystical experience and almost died. We went to a small museum, and in wrought iron, this big, jaws. It was a man trap.
Hmm.
You know, like you have a bear trap.
Yeah.
Step and it goes like this.
Yeah.
It was the same thing, but it was, and it had a chain on it, and it was put out to trap slaves.
Hmm.
And it was the real deal. And just seeing that, it's almost like I don't need to see anymore.
Yeah.
It's there. Now putting that into context, you know, those two data points, the New York experience and then that experience, gives me a couple of points of reference.
Touch points,
that's it.
The thing that you can go back to remind yourself of what you've not seen, what you've not learned, not
right.
heard.
Right.
To remind yourself, to check yourself, okay, wait a minute, why am I acting so resistant to this when I'm aware of these touch points that I've acknowledged? I go back to Michael Singer's book, The Untethered Soul. And at the beginning of his book, I think it's probably in the first paragraph where he talks about awareness is the precursor to consciousness. That once you become aware of something, you are then responsible for it.
You can't become unaware of it.
Unaware of it.
You can't unsee it. You're right.
Right. And that's the crux of what I'm, the point that I'm trying to get across to my white friends when I say you don't get a pass from dealing with this because you now have a touch point to which you can return to each time you forget the truth that has been revealed to you that is not your truth, not your reality, not your experience.
You, and maybe another way of saying it, you don't get a pass is, and I think you said it, you can't unsee what happened.
And
now, now you own that knowledge. What are you going to do with it?
But you doing this work about the in search of the compassionate male, it's like you're recognizing that there's an X gene out there And there's a new archetype waiting to awaken. It's already out there.
It's there. All I'm doing is naming it.
Yes.
Name it and point to it. And people go, oh, that's what that is.
Yeah. You're not weird. There's nothing wrong with you. It's who you are. Mm-hmm. And you're giving space and time and permission and cognition to awaken to it and to experience it and to wield it and to utilize it to change the world. Whatever I can do to assist and support you in this work, I would invite you with whatever you create to consider getting that to the folks at KLRU here in Austin. This work, this needs to be on a much bigger platform.
Yeah.
And not that it won't, but I'm certainly willing to help.
Thank you. I don't take that offer lightly.
Thank you for this. Well, whatever I can do to help, let me know.
It belongs on a bigger platform.
It does.
So, okay.
Love you, brother.
I love you too. Take care.